I'm Shalina Tobin, aka Poshnosh Girl, and today I'm with the fantastic Azimakis Shaniotis. Born in Athens, Azimakis has made a name for himself in London as executive head chef at the Michelin star Pierre Dadet, as well as being one of the youngest chefs to get a Michelin star at just 28 years old. He is one of the most passionate chefs on the London scene today. Yassas Azimakis, or should I call you Akis?
You call me Akis, yeah, it's easier, it's better, yeah.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
And where are you during the lockdown?
I left just one day, just when the lockdown was announced. I booked my tickets to go to Greece, just because it was a bit more easy for me to like catch up with family, because everyone is here, have a niece and my sister and stuff, so... And I could do all the work I want to do anyway online through like Zoom meetings with the rest of the team back in the UK. So I'm here now. I'm here since the 22nd of March, I think. And yeah, we're still in, you know, very tricky situation where we don't know yet what is going to happen with our restaurants. Obviously, yeah. We don't know exactly when we're going to open. We plan around August, but we don't know for sure what's going on. So,
we'll talk about the restaurant a little bit later. So I just wanted to find out what are you doing back home in Athens?
I suppose I'm just looking at recipes. I'm writing new recipes that I couldn't have time to do before. I'm trying a few stuff, even though it's not very easy because I don't have the plates here or my knives and stuff. But anyway, with the experience we have at the moment, it would be a bit more easy for us to develop a few more ideas. I suppose, yeah, I'm catching up with family. I'm trying to catch up with a bit of work and definitely rest a little bit before we go back on whatever terms we will have to go back.
Yeah. I saw an amazing fishing video of you today. You have caught loads of fish, and they're quite interesting videos that you're sharing on your stories right now.
I was very into nature anyway because of my family. So me and my dad used to go for fishing a lot when I was young. I have a cottage in Kefalonia, which is an island in the Ionian Sea. So my grandfather, they used to have everything. Like, we have a farm where we naturally grow lemons, figs. We have four different varieties of grapes. We got walnuts, we got hazelnuts, we got almonds, and we grow tomatoes, peppers, like any vegetable, onions. So I was very into that myself. And when I was around 18, I started going hunting as well in winter, which I feel like having this knowledge even before I became a chef, it really helped me appreciate even more my work and make my work, if I can say that, a little bit easier. So we make our own olive oil as well, which I'm serving in the restaurant with our homemade breads, and I sell sometimes as well in the restaurant. So I think it's, you know, some other chefs, they might have to learn throughout their career how to use the ingredients. Right. Where myself, I grew them myself, I cut them from the vine myself, so it really helped me in terms of quality.
So when you first realized your love for cooking, would you say that was when you were a child, because you've done all of these things when you were growing up?
My dad had his own company, he's a plumber, so he used to work in construction. So any summers, winters, like Christmas holidays and stuff, I used to go with him and give him a hand, yeah? And he really wanted to take over the business. But I couldn't see myself like doing the job, because I was very into like street art when I was very young, and I wanted something more artistic, something more creative. Mm-hmm. And then when I was coming back, I was always like looking where my mom would cook. I would find my grandmother's like recipe book, because she wasn't alive to cook for us. She had a recipe book where I was looking at it, and I was like doing recipes when I was like teenager. Right. But I think I decided that I would become a chef when I was around 17, when it was the time for me to decide what I'm. And it was a passion, it was a hobby, I suppose, when I was very young. And I said, like, why I should do this, because I'll be very good at it. So I've gone to a culinary school in Greece, in Athens. where I was a very bad student in the normal school, but when I've been there, I finished as one of the best students in my class.
Amazing.
And then straight after that, I started working for several companies, like big hotels and stuff, and it worked quite well.
And what was it that drew you to the UK?
When I was 21, I was working for a very big company with hotels. And at the end of the season, because it was from March until October, the executive chef called me in the office and said that I think you should be a junior chef next year. And I was just 21. Now, at that point, I didn't feel like it was right. Not only for me, because I didn't thought that I had the knowledge back then. Even if I was working hard, that's a different story. But then I was like so many people. It was a hotel with 100 people staff. It was so many people that were like 45 years old, like working all their lives. And I find it quite tricky for me to go there and tell them what to do or whatever. So I said I want to learn more stuff about my work. I want to become better in my work. And I want to learn as much as possible. So that's when I decided to come to the UK. Now, my first option was Paris. But then I had to learn French before I go there, and I had no one there.
Okay.
But in London, I had someone, like a friend of mine, who was already here in UK, and we been taught the basic of English language in school anyway.
Right.
So yeah, I came in London in October 2011, and yeah, through hard work.
In Pierre Dateau in 2012. And
I started working for an English company called Tubit House, which was pretty good food, actually, I suppose, but it wasn't what I was looking for. I was working for them for 9 months, and then I decided to go to Pierre de Terre. So
yeah.
I applied in July, and I started with them in August 2012. Okay. Back then, it was the head chef there was Marcus Eves. I worked myself throughout the ranks, and I think 2013, I was a junior sous chef in the restaurant. And then I worked harder and harder, and at some point I took over the restaurant.
So it took 5 years to make exec chef. What would you say were the toughest challenges that you've had to face?
I mean, working in this type of establishment, to be honest, like Pierre de Terre, which is one of the toughest kitchens because of how small it is, obviously the history of the restaurant, even if you don't really want to be stressed about it, you end up being stressed about it because you want to end up like making proud of yourself, I suppose the owner, and the customers that have been like regular since like the 90s, where I was like 5 years old. So I feel like challenges, yeah, throughout your career anyway, like you find challenges. I was very young. You find challenges to how to control people, how to manage chefs, how to manage front of house staff, how to explain to them your vision, your passion, what you're doing and why you're doing this with yourself keeping them always hooked up in your ideas, because it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you keep your staff, by keeping them inspired from what you do,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that they're always going to learn next to you, because no one will, as we know, London is one of the multicultural cities in the world, yeah? So people that come in over to gain experiences, if you don't have them hooked up, they will leave and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So they were like a million challenges, like combinations, how we're going to work with this, so many different tryouts and dishes and stuff, like always want to keep myself on the French style of food because I really like the traditional French cuisine, and I'm always trying to add some Greek influences in there, but I don't want to add too many, and then we would call it a Greek restaurant, which I don't really mind, to be honest, but I really like the idea of contemporary French cuisine with Greek influences, to be honest. I'm using lots of ingredients from Greece, where I have lots of suppliers sending me things over. I make my own olive oil, which I serve in the restaurant.
Yeah.
I have hunters and even fish suppliers here that can send me fish from Greece in 2 days, literally in 2 days, the same quality as I would get in the UK. And everyone in the world knows that Mediterranean fish are more tasty because it's just the way it is. It's more warm, waters there, they're more high on saltiness, which brings a more flavorsome flesh for the fish, let's say. But generally we buy ingredients from all over the world. Like, so we'll buy French pigeon, we'll buy truffles from Spain, we'll buy things from Italy and from Greece. And yeah.
Let's talk about the kitchen environment for a second. You believe in creating a very positive vibe in your kitchen. And you know, kitchens are very notoriously known for high stress, swearing, aggression. How did you manage to achieve a no swearing environment?
Look, now I'm always trying to have a non-stressful environment as possible and a non-swearing environment. Now, I would say, I said before that I don't want people to swear to each other. Mm-hmm. Like if someone makes a mistake and said to himself, I wouldn't mind at all. Like, you know, I just don't like this aggression between people. Now, there are some times that I'm, as well myself, I might lose control. I think it happens to everyone. Like in any relationship, even in your partner relationship at home, like sometimes we have our problems and our stuff, you know, working so many hours doesn't help really. But to be honest, it's just the way that the culinary scene and the restaurants work in the UK. Now, in other countries, you have chefs working 8 hours and then they go home. Mm-hmm. But in the UK, you must work minimum 2 or 3 double shifts a week, which gives you straight away 16 multiply 3, gives you already like 49 hours on 3 days, like let alone all the rest of the day. So I'm just trying to be as calm as I can myself. It's my decision what I will serve the customer. And through my experiences, when something I would be completely sure that it will not be visible to the customer's eye, I will try to serve it without creating a very big mess. Because at the end of the day, when you have a full restaurant and you have so many orders in, you have to make sure the customers that they follow next, it will continue to have a pace and you continue serving the customer without having problems with the other tables. So I'm just trying to do the best I can on keeping myself calm, first of all,
right,
which I am their boss and that's how I'm going to keep them calm. When I lose my they will lose their it's just the way it is.
Right. And how else do you motivate your team?
I mean, it's certain things like I'm always trying. We always have a day off together at the same time on Sunday because all the other days off, they all, you know, everyone has a different day off. So on Sundays, I might try to, you know, sometimes we go down to Brighton and we go like fly fishing, we go like fishing for mackerel and stuff, or we end up going for dinner somewhere all together. Always I let my staff know that if they want something from me, like I'm always there. Like, I don't want them to come to work stressed about something. If they need some money, I can borrow them some money. I can give them some money for if they have a problem. If they have like a family problem, I don't mind giving them the holidays to go back home to see the families. So I'm just trying to be close to them as much as I can. Sometimes it's not very easy because you don't really connect with everyone. And that's normal, you know. Some people, they're more like closed up to themselves. So you got to be, actually, you got to be a chef and you got to be a psychologist, whatever. Like it's tricky.
You got to be the team leader.
Yeah, it's tricky and it's interesting. And I'm very glad that I end up having, because I'm the only chef in the UK that has a Michelin star from Greece. Like I have a million CVs from Greece. And at the moment, all my team, they're Greeks. Just because I have so many CVs coming over.
Right.
So I think we'll have a better connection. We know better our culture, so we can help each other, like, you know, communicating a bit easier.
So I mean, so basically the current guys that you've had, they're all Greek, and so it's like a community in your kitchen. You all support each other as well.
I mean, I'm very strict on speaking, obviously. I don't want anyone speaking Greek in the kitchen because obviously we're in a different country. I want them to speak in English. And if they don't, I'm actually getting irritated because all the waiters, they speak in English, you know, David Moore, the owners in English, you know, like no one is on Greeks. And I don't want anyone to feel like we plotting anyone, you know, against anyone, you know what I mean? So I'm very strict on speaking in English, but at the end of the day, when the shift is finishing, they can come to me and talk to me and ask me whatever they want.
So let's talk about the chef's table. You just launched it. Talk to us about that concept.
So the idea was we had the bar area in the restaurant where we never used as a bar area. We only sit some customers there before we change the tables and sit it down on the normal table. So we used to do some collaboration with a company called Martin Moore, yeah, which is a prestigious company which makes kitchens for very nice kitchens in the UK. And I thought it was a very good idea to speak with David and tell David to approach them and ask them how we could make this work out. So we spoke to them and they really wanted the idea of having a bespoke kitchen made by them with their name on it. They work with Gaggenau, where they have obviously amazing kitchens and how they put their ovens in there and their steamers and stuff. It's just brilliant. And we gave them the idea and they said, okay, let's do it. So the idea for me was to like wipe out the whole bar area and make a new kitchen where I will cook in front of the customers. It will be 8 seats. It will be all booked up beforehand. Mm-hmm. I will make a menu which will be served by everyone. So if one of you have an allergy, I will serve the same food to everyone. Okay, because I'm cooking the food only myself. And I do around 16 to 22 courses tasting menu.
Wow.
So it's a lot of plates. It's quite small in quantity, but 100% you end up living so full you can't even breathe from food, you know.
But if you're serving like people who are a mixture of vegetarian and non-vegetarian, how does that work?
I don't do that.
Okay.
So I'm releasing tickets for the customers. So they're either going to be a full eating customers, yeah, or they're going to be all of them the vegetarians, or okay, they're going to be all of them vegans.
Okay.
So they buy tickets, they're going to buy tickets for a certain like day, let's say.
Yeah.
When I release a vegetarian vegan, they can book their own tickets on the same day.
Okay.
Because it's just not possible for me. I'm the only, I don't have any other chef there. It's just me and no one else who is doing this. To produce so many dishes.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of dishes.
Just insane.
Yeah.
So that's how it's working more or less. We launched before, like just in Christmas time. We had already a few customers. Everyone is super happy about it. Like, you know, because we talk about things, they ask me about the food, they ask me about how I make this and that, they see me how I cook everything in front of them. So it's very exciting for me, first of all. And I think they can see as well the actual chef cooking and not like one of the like junior members of the team. And they can appreciate the work that's going into every dish. And any question they have, I will reply to them straight away without saying, you know, I don't know that or I don't know that. And the idea is that it's a prestigious kitchen and we really wanted to have this as a separate kitchen from Pied à Terre and maybe go there for a second star as we want to go in Pied à Terre in whole in general.
Right. And I mean, you're literally like entertaining your guests. So how does that feel? Because it's very interactive.
I am trying, to be honest, not to entertain the customers because there's so many dishes that I'm going through and I'm going to be completely focused and I want the customers to be entertained by my focus making their food. That make any sense?
Yeah, that makes
so, obviously throughout the eating the dishes, so if they eat in the course number 5, by the time they're eating the food, I'm making the course number 6.
Yeah.
So by the time they ate that, my waiter will take away all the plates and they will serve the second course. I will explain this and then I will keep cooking something else.
Okay.
Now, if they want a break, if they want to have a chat, like I will stop what I'm doing to have a chat with them, but I will not do both at the same time because I want to be very focused on the cooking skills that I'm having there and give them an amazing experience.
And you mentioned, you know, you have many courses, but does the menu vary a massive amount to the one in the restaurant, in the main restaurant?
So I'm trying to not having any dishes from the main restaurant.
Okay.
Sometimes I will use some of the garnishes of some of the dishes, but I will use different techniques on cooking the protein, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But you will not find the whole menu in this menu because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do different dishes every time I'm doing this. You might find similarities on the canapes and stuff, but not on the actual courses.
Mm-hmm. And would you say it has more of a Greek influence? Do you have more flexibility to play around with?
I think I have more flexibility because it's so many courses that I want to... I'm a great, you know, I'm a fan, I say, of the French cuisine. I really adore Japanese cuisine, to be honest. I'm always getting more into it, and I'm planning for a trip to Japan for a month soon. To work in some of the 3-star restaurants there to gain more experience. Because for me now, I want to gain more experience. Like, I don't want to be the person who I'm going to say, I'm an amazing chef, I'm having a Michelin star, and I want to do all my stuff I want to do. I want to travel around when I can on my holidays. I want to go in more 2- and 3-star restaurants and do a stage. Like, as humble as that. Like, learn from the best, like, people around and get more experiences. Even if they're not chefs and I'm going there to explore different traditions and different cultures, that will help me evolve as a chef anyway. So, so we have different influences there, I suppose. Yeah, I'm doing some, like, Japanese dishes, I would say. I would do some Greek influence dishes. I would do some like French influence dishes. Whatever I really like and whatever I would really like to serve to the customers myself, because it's Chef's Table by Asimakis at Pied de Terre.
So moving on, I mean, you're the youngest and first Greek chef to ever receive a Michelin star in the UK. How does that make you feel?
To be honest, it was very tricky because I remember one of the most stressful times in my life and career or everything is that, like, Michelin guide for the past couple of years, for the past 3-4 years, invites like a month or a couple of months before the chefs who received the Michelin star to go to a ball or whatever, like you go to the ceremony. Mm-hmm. Now, the year that it was the first year that I took over Pied de Terre, we haven't received an invitation. So, like, we actually thought that I lost the Michelin star. I wasn't very good enough, and I was very, like, judgmental of myself. I was, like, I tried to be, like, very, very relaxed and not very stressed about it, but it was killing me every day. Until the ceremony happened, and I had a friend there who called me and said that, you know, Pied de Terre, like, retained the Michelin star. So I was so stressed and so, like sad and stuff that I haven't really had the thought of thinking that, you know, I'm the youngest chef that has youngest Greek chef that has a Michelin star in the UK. I'm always trying to stay humble on my life and on what I'm doing, because not because of the concept of being humble, but because of I'm not saving lives. I'm not a doctor, you know. I'm just a chef cooking for some customers. It's just my passion being a chef, and I don't think that, you know, okay, I might make up making some money in my life later on, but I will never feel like I should be not humble about it. And yeah, I don't feel amazing about it. I just feel like it was my duty. I do the best I can for my customers and for the restaurant, for my staff, and for everyone I'm working for and with. And that's it. Very simple.
Well, that's a very humble attitude. It's a really quite refreshing way to look at it. Are you striving for a second star?
Look, I don't even know, to be honest, what it takes to have one star. So I didn't expect to have one star now. It would be my dream to have a second star. Now, you know, I don't know what Michelin wants for a second star. You can see sometimes now they say what they're looking for. What I know for sure is that I grew up with the best ingredients in the world. I'm trying to use the best ingredients I can buy. I buy the most expensive ingredients, the most pure ingredients I can find everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to use them on the most humble way as well. So I can show their flavor. I don't want to use like ultra amazing techniques that it will completely change an ingredient, because an ingredient, it's amazing itself. Now, my job is to cook it properly and make you feel and understand the way I feel when I eat this dish, because I eat all my dishes. I eat at the restaurant minimum once every 2 months, because I want to try my food throughout the month. Because sometimes I have a dish which is on the menu for the past 4 months. I want to see if it's the same on the first month and the same on the fourth month. What have changed? Has it evolved or it hasn't? If, in my opinion, it hasn't evolved, it should leave the menu. If it became better throughout these 4 months, then it should stay on and it should grow strong. Yeah, so many different things, I suppose.
And if you do achieve your second star, I think you should allow yourself to celebrate, maybe in true Greek style, and smash the plates in the kitchen.
I think if that's going to happen at any point, I will request the next day or the next night for the restaurant to be closed, for me to take out all my stuff and make sure that I show them my respect for all the hard work. Because if we've been completely honest, an executive chef or a head chef, or I don't like titles, to be honest, I'm just a cook, work very hard in the restaurant. But my job nowadays is to create new dishes, to make new menus, to speak with customers, to speak with suppliers, to find the best ingredients I can. So I have my staff physically working themselves every day. Where myself, my job now is more mentally devastating, or I don't know how. I work more mentally than physically, that they work all day cleaning the stoves, cleaning the floors, doing all this hard work for myself, and they came to work for me, for Asimakis, like, you know, obviously in Pediatr, to be honest, and it's history. But I want to show them respect, and I want to show them I'm going to the kitchen in the morning and I get inspired by them working hard for me, going in there and working very hard to just prove to me that they are doing the job right. And it's inspiring.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're clearly very ambitious and very passionate as well. Have you ever thought about opening your own restaurant?
I think, when I was a bit younger, I thought that I shouldn't open a restaurant, because when I will have to spend more time to run the operation, then I will have to spend less time to be in the kitchen. Where, you know, a few years back, I couldn't even understand this, because I need to be in the kitchen every day to make sure that everything is perfect, everything is right, everything is there, everything is like spot on. Now, as I'm growing older, which I'm still 30 anyway, I would really like to have my own establishment. You know, I really like to have a restaurant where you're going to say, I'm going to go there and Asimakis will be there, you know. And to be honest, I feel like if I'll have my own establishment, it would just like, you can even put more work into it, because, you know, it's your family's going to eat from this restaurant. Like, you know, your name is going to be there. My name is El Pietro as well. You know, me and David are very, very close. He's super friendly. He's amazing. He treated me very well throughout the years. but I can't say that she wouldn't expect from me to want to open my own restaurant, because I want from him to know that, I want him to know that he would be proud for me to evolve as a person and as an individual.
Yeah.
And to succeed like he succeeded when he opened his restaurant when he was 27, when he opened Peter Derrick himself. Yeah. That's it.
So which industry chef are you most inspired by?
On the same point, I would say I'm most inspired by, first of all, Thomas Keller is one of my inspirations, because he's cooking classically French cuisine with amazing ingredients without making super amazing techniques and making a very clean plate, having an amazing flavor. At some point, I got a job at Per Se of Thomas Keller's, which that's where David came to me and offered me to run L'Entrepied in 2016. Wow. So that's why I haven't gone there.
Okay.
But yeah, so Thomas Keller and Gordon Ramsay would be one of my idols, because they were so they were so good on achieving having 3 Michelin stars and running businesses as the owners themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things, like the amount of knowledge they gained throughout the years, that they were so good to be amazing chefs, they were so good to pass their knowledge to their junior staff to run their restaurants, because they're not there every day, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
And they're so good to learn the tricks and gain the experiences to know how to run the operation.
Yeah. Well, I've always wanted to visit the French Laundry. It's been voted the best restaurant several times, and I've...
Yeah, I haven't been there myself, to be honest.
One day.
Yeah.
So which is your favorite restaurant in London?
I'm always having this question asked, to be honest. But I'm really a person who really enjoys food, mm-hmm. on a bigger scale. So, you know, I love street food. I love like a nice brasserie. I love a very good Michelin star restaurant. So I can't really answer this question, because I am one of these people that I say that I would not go in a restaurant twice.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Why, like, I will have some money to spend, I will go in a different restaurant to see something different. So, you know, I have amazing meals to many, many restaurants, from Roger Zedel in, you know, down Covent Garden, to Call by Claire Smith, which is a completely different experience, but we'll have a very nice meal there. Like many restaurants, and everyone has different styles. So I wouldn't say that I have a favorite restaurant,
okay.
But I would say that every restaurant is great and they serve the different style of food.
Yeah. And do you see London as home now?
I'm living in London for the past 9 years, to be honest. Yeah, I've always missed family and stuff, but I don't know if I could do what I'm doing in the UK back in Greece, because it's a different culture. It's people that have so much lower budget to go out for dinners. So I don't know, but I know that London is home. Yeah, because, you know, I always crave to go back, and I love how buzzing it is and how busy it is and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how often do you get to go home to Greece? Typically.
So I'm very lucky that we closed the restaurant a couple of weeks in Christmas. So I'm always going to see family and spend these holy days with them.
Right.
And I'm going nearly every year, except this year that we have the lockdown that I'm here now so long.
Yeah.
I'm normally going in Greece for the whole August, more or less.
Wow.
That's only for one reason. One reason is because it's summer. Another reason is because London is quite empty and we're not very busy. And I'm always training the second man in command to be able to run the place the same way I would do. Because One day I might have an accident on the way to work. Like, you never know. I want them to be able to produce the food
if you're not there.
99% on the same way I would do. Yeah. Or again, we are people, yeah? We are human beings. We need to be out of the restaurant. Like, the restaurant is my life, but I have a family. You know, they need to see me. I want to see them. I want to spend time with them. And the most human thing is to be able to be out of there and enjoy time with your family. So I'm always going in Christmas and in summer a couple of times. And sometimes nowadays, if I get to go on an event in a fine dining restaurant, I will just go there for the weekend with another person from my staff to do an event and come back again.
Oh, lovely. So have you been diving at all while you've been there?
In Greece?
Yeah.
Not yet. I'm going fishing on boats with a friend of mine that has a boat. But when I go to Kefalonia, my cottage, that's where I have all my gear to go diving.
That you collect the shells and you serve the canapes in the shells?
Yeah, we have a shellfish that called Nobu pen shell, and it's a very big shell, like that big, which it looks like a mussel, but it has a brown and golden color. When you open it in half, I might have one here actually. Let me have a look. No, we don't have one yet. Yes, and then obviously it's kind of let's say the Greek scallop. So when you open it, you have a scallop in there, and you can find lots of how do you call them? Like, no marbles, but you know the thing that you wear on your necklace.
Pearls.
You can find a small pearls in there as well. Like, it's very interesting, and you have the skirt, which you normally take it off and take off all the sand that this shellfish eat, and we deep frying it, mm-hmm. and we just serve it with the mustard and olive oil and lemon, which is pretty amazing. But in there, you always find, because it's a very big shell, and when it's a bit open, octopus will go there to eat it. So you might take a shell out, you might find an octopus in there.
Wow.
Or the other time I've gone there, I took one out and I found a very big eel.
Wow.
So yeah, it's interesting. I really like being connected with nature in fishing, hunting, growing my own vegetables and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how I've been growing up since I was very young.
And what other inspiration do you take from there and use in the restaurant?
I suppose, I mean, like, we've been blessed to have such a big variety and diversity of recipes in Greece, from like, we have mountains and we have like flatlands and we have sea and we have like, it's insane. We're covered by sea. We've got a lot of game, which we do stews with. We obviously, from ancient Greece, we know about how we need to eat cereals and how we need to eat stuff. So we've been growing up with this stuff. I find inspiration everywhere in my life. I'm trying to find inspiration on listening to music. I find inspiration by looking a painting of an artist. I find inspiration of anywhere. Like, find inspiration of going to a restaurant and trying something which it might really connect with some of my ideas and try to make something new. Connecting with different people and different cultures gives you inspiration. So like, it's. You know, I like being very creative. Like, that's one of the things that I'm, yeah.
And I hear you love street art and graffiti and that kind of thing. How do you use that kind of inspiration in your cooking?
I haven't done that for quite a while now. I think for the past 5 years. Uh-huh. But I've been growing up, like, doing graffiti and street art when I was young, from my 15, since I was, like, 23. So that, I think, it was more of the colors and painting and stuff that really helps in the creativity of, or how you would dress it, a plate, or what ingredients you would use to make it look very nice and very, like, beautiful to the eye. But my first priority is my food to be very tasty. And then second priority is to make it look nice.
Right.
So I feel like, yeah, art is always helping people. I don't want to call myself an artist because I'm not an artist. So
right. But speaking of artists, I mean, you've got a number of interesting tattoos I can see. Which ones can you show us?
I have some on my fingers. I have some on my arms, I suppose. Which this is like a Victorian distillery here. So, like, this is a distillery where you make like alcohol.
Oh wow! So
yeah, I have a few of them. I always want to have, and all of them they've been done in the UK, I suppose, because when I left home, my mom wasn't very close around to just, you know, being stopped me to have them. and I really like art on my body, I suppose, and that's why I did them.
Right. And you've got some on your fingers, which is love.
Yeah, it say cook love.
Cook love.
Because always it's too big, like things in my life, like love for cooking and cooking with love and etc.
So I've also seen some really interesting shots of you online from a couple of years back. And how did the Naked Chef come about? Tell me about that.
It was a very bad day, actually. So what happened, I've left in 2015, where Andy McFadden was the head chef of Beer Tea Restaurant. I was there for a very long time. I couldn't see myself becoming the head chef back then. So I've decided to leave the restaurant. So I've gone to New York and I had trial to a 3-star restaurant called Per Se in New York from Thomas Keller.
Yeah.
And I got the job straight away. And I came back and I said to David Moore, like, David, I would like to hand you my notice. They will organize my visa in New York. And that will happen around 8 months' time, I think, if I'm not wrong. So then we come with the idea that L'Otropie, the city restaurant we had at that time, on Sundays it was closed. So I had the idea of going there on Sundays when it's closed and making my own menu as a private chef and make some more money for me to go to the States without being broke or whatever. And then back then we had this GM called Leonora, which is a very good friend of mine. And she had the idea of bringing a photographer in and try to sell this idea of the Naked Chef. Now, don't forget I was a sous chef back then in the restaurant, where the sous chef is one of the most important jobs in the restaurant. Like, I was going in the morning in the kitchen, I was checking the guys, I was checking the fish, I was speaking with suppliers. And it was pretty bad morning that day, so I was in a very, very bad mood and not very nice. So the photographer comes over and I couldn't lose this bad face off me. So it wasn't a very great day. And it's something I don't really like to discuss about, to be honest. Because it's not the path I want to follow, like the Naked Chef. I want to be, right, obviously talked about my skills as a chef and my creativity rather than, you know, how I look like, because I don't look great anyway now.
Well, I'm sure other people will disagree. I'm sure you have many people out there who love the pictures, so don't worry about that. Well, thank you so much, Azimakis. Efaristo Poli.
Thank you as well.
And I really appreciate your time. And guys, if you wanna follow up with Azimakis, you can follow him on Instagram @Azimakis, ASIMAKIS, and I'm @PoshNoshGal.